fever down in my soul, that alpha fever.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to First Impulse. I am Mike Richardson, brother of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, Pi Upsilon Lambda Chapter. And today I am joined by my big brother, the first vice president of PUL, Brother Steve Robinson. Welcome to First Impulse.
Thank you, Brother Richardson. Glad to be here.
So today we're going to do something special. We've been talking a lot about the different activities that the chapter does to support the fraternity, the national programs, and the community of Prince George's County, Maryland. Today, I want to talk about another part of the mission statement that is important to the fraternity and the chapter. Mission statement is Alpha Phi Alpha develops leaders, promotes brotherhood and academic excellence while providing service and advocacy for our community. And today, we're focusing on that second part, promotes brotherhood. Now, we've talked a little bit about brotherhood in other areas, but we want to focus on it today and how that makes what we do easier, stronger, and just a joy to do. So, Brother Robinson, I mentioned that the fraternity promotes brotherhood. What is unique about the brotherhood of Alpha?
If you really think about it, when our founding fathers, our seven jewels, founded the fraternity, it was really out of a sense of brotherhood. I think that sense of brotherhood brought them together on the campus of Cornell University. I think that same foundational principles are what we carry today. I can think back to the time when I was initiated into the fraternity and the other 10 young men that I was initiated with.
Okay.
They were strangers to me when I first met them. But once we were initiated into Alpha, they've been lifelong brothers to me and their family. They know my family. I know theirs. And for 36 years, we've kept that bond of brotherhood.
Okay, so can you talk a little bit more about that? Like, and what ways have you benefited from that brotherhood?
So I didn't grow up with brothers.
Okay.
Biological brothers. And so I had some older cousins that were like brothers to me, but I didn't have a brother in my household. Okay. And so coming to the campus of James Madison University, back in 1986.
The 1900s.
1900s. Yes, yes, 1900s. Yes, I'm old. And really, you know, not knowing a lot of folks on campus, the Brothers of Alpha are really the ones who kind of took me under their wing from day one. My head RA in my dorm was an Alpha, and he took four of us as freshmen kind of under his wing, introduced us to the rest of the brothers. And so that bond started there in terms of Alpha.
Okay.
For me.
Okay. So PUL does a lot of work in the county. How does the chapter work to ensure that the brotherhood remains strong as we do the work?
Sure. I think as part of our normal programs, we focus on our Brotherhood Affairs Committee, focuses on how we treat each other as brothers, how we interact as brothers, how we take care of each other. As brothers, from both a mental and a physical standpoint, I think one of the things that we try to do, especially in my role when I was second VP as head of Brotherhood Affairs, was just making sure that we engage brothers, check on brothers. We are always going to do the business of Alpha, but this fraternity was founded on brotherhood. And so we want to make sure that the well-being of our brothers is being taken care of, as well as the people who love them. And so when we talk about our family members, making sure that we're good as a whole.
All right. So our chapter has a reputation among the brothers of the fraternity. How did we achieve that reputation, and what are the things that we do to kind of maintain it?
It's funny because we always get this question. It's like we genuinely like each other. Mm-hmm. We genuinely like spending time with each other. As we do the business of Alpha, we find ways to enjoy each other's company. We find ways to fellowship together. And it may be just one or two brothers getting together, or a few brothers just getting together over a brotherhood smoke, over a cigar, or something like that, or just going to a sporting event or something like that, or just getting together at somebody's house and just shooting the breeze. And so,
for someone who may not know, have not been through a process, mm-hmm. it's an interesting concept. To know that you come in, as you said, with mm-hmm. 10 other men that you didn't know. Mm-hmm. And then y'all became tight so quickly. As I think through that, I'm listening to what you're saying. The fraternity was founded in 1906 mm-hmm. on the campus of Cornell University, which not only was a PWI, but it was difficult for African Americans to go to college at that time, mm-hmm. any college,
right?
But specifically an Ivy League college, right. It was a hostile environment,
right?
And so that is one of the ways that their brotherhood mm-hmm. formed. So, for what you can say, I'm not asking you for anything you shouldn't say.
Sure, sure.
For what you can say, how does that type of relationship form amongst people who may not know each other?
I think for each of us who wear these letters, mm-hmm. We go through our initiation process. Mm-hmm. Your initiation process might have been different than mine,
yeah.
But the foundations of that process are what brings you together.
Okay.
I always say to each time that we have intake, is nobody gets through the process alone, even if you are a line of one, because you rely on your big brothers to help you through that process. Mm-hmm. Just like with the 10 young men that I was initiated with, we all had to rely on each other.
Yeah.
We all had to figure out each other's strengths and weaknesses and utilize them to get through that
yeah.
process.
Yeah.
And so it's the same when we're together as a chapter,
yeah.
right? And as a fraternity as a whole,
yeah.
right? We have to rely on each other's strengths and weaknesses, know what they are, and know how my strengths can overcome your weaknesses and vice versa.
Yeah.
Your strengths can overcome my weaknesses.
So that was one of the questions that I had always had, even when I was an undergrad. Because I just didn't understand it, because I knew how friendships worked mm-hmm. and how they formed, and I was like, it just doesn't make sense that you could do that. But now, having been initiated into this brotherhood, I completely get it. It's a elegant, effective process. It's beautiful.
And think of it this way: when you have siblings, mm-hmm. especially when you're the older sibling, and your parents tell you that you're going to be a big brother, mm-hmm. when that sibling comes into your home, you instantly have a connection with them.
Yeah.
Even though you never met him.
Yeah.
Right? It's the same way when you were initiated, mm-hmm. the day that you were initiated, I knew and I felt in my heart that I could call you brother. Mm-hmm. And I think I've told you on several occasions that, you know, I feel this connection. And I think that's the beauty of our fraternity, that anywhere you go in this world and you see a brother wearing these letters, mm-hmm. you know that you share a common bond with that person. You may not know them from Adam,
yeah.
but when you see those letters, you know you share a common bond.
It's beautiful. So you mentioned that you chaired the Brotherhood Affairs mm-hmm. Committee in your time as second mm-hmm. VP. During your time as chair, what is your proudest moment, or what are you most proud of?
I think one of the things that we tried to do was establish sort of these formal small groups in which, and it is really, I can't take the credit for it. It was Brother Woodson mm-hmm. Who came to us with the idea of forming these small groups. We call them the jewel groups. Mm-hmm. And they meet periodically. They may meet in person. Mm-hmm. Some meet virtually. Mm-hmm. Some are connected through GroupMe mm-hmm. and things of that nature through social media. But it's just a means for us to connect with each other.
Okay.
It may start out with just sending a word of encouragement
yeah.
or inspirational or devotional
yeah.
that someone may read that day and sharing this and just encouraging each other
okay.
and checking in on each other.
Yeah,
I think that was one of the things that I'm proud of in terms of what we have been able to implement from a PUL perspective is that, you know, we're always going to check on our brothers and make sure that they're good and their families are good as well.
I love it. So thank you for stopping by the podcast today.
My pleasure.
We are going to hear next from the second VP, who is now the chair of the Brotherhood Affairs Committee. And I will see you
sounds next good. Week. Appreciate you having me, brother.
Thanks. Bye. All right. We are back with our second vice president of the Pops on Lambda chapter, Brother Craig Trower. Brother Trower is back on the podcast again. You were here earlier for, what was the episode? You remember?
Ooh, episode 2?
Yeah, it was early on.
It was early. It was one of the early episodes.
But we have you back for a good reason this time, because as we're talking about brotherhood, the Brotherhood of Alpha, how we do brotherhood in PUL, Brother Trower is the current chair of the Brotherhood Affairs Committee, with which we discussed a little bit about Brother Robinson, who was the previous chair. So welcome back.
Thank you.
All right. So what has been your experience with Brotherhood before you joined Alpha Phi Alpha?
Excellent, excellent question. So just by way of background, I am a middle child. So it was basically me and my younger sister most of the way growing up. And then when I was 13, I found out that I had an older half-brother and half-sister. So they were twins, 16 years older. So great, you know, finding out I had older siblings, but like because of the, you know, age difference and that, like I said, they were 16 years older. They were already grown, you know, out on their own. I really didn't have like a brother that I could say I was raised with. So, you know, I had the sister experience, which, you know, siblings, brother, sisters, you know, really, really cool. But like, I didn't have that brother experience. And so, of course, going through school, you got your boys that you hang with, stuff like that. But I was kind of a nerd. You know, I really was an intellectual. And so I had, you know, pretty platonic relationships, got a few friendships in high school, college, and they were generally around sports or other common interests and things. But like, they, to me, still felt like, okay, these are associates. Yeah. I didn't have what you would call a really best friend kind of thing, or what I would call like a brother to walk with me through life. Yeah. And so I kind of got the feel for what brotherhood was from my uncle, who was an Omega. And then his two sons, my cousins, ended up pledging Omega as well. And so I kind of watched them, and they talked about their brothers, okay, their you know, their Q brothers. And I saw all the stuff they did, and I was like, wow, I'm interested in that. You know, these guys have the only common bond they had was through their fraternity. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, cool. So when, you know, fast forward, when I finally kind of moved into Alpha, one of the things that really, really intrigued me, especially about PUL, was that they emphasized brotherhood. And I kept saying, okay, what is that? You know, I saw them doing projects in the community. I saw them doing programs. But in those programs, and I was one of those that came around the chapter for a couple of years before I actually expressed an interest in joining. And what I observed was these guys work well together. Like, it's really like a tight unit. Yeah. I could tell everything was well planned, well executed, and that they genuinely liked each other. Like, I could tell, like, okay, when this program is over, these guys are going to probably go hang out somewhere, you know, have a drink, you know, hang out, get something to eat, and just really enjoy, you know, being around each other. And so fast forward, once I'm in the fraternity, and I'm like, wow, I see it. I get it. So that was kind of my experience before the fraternity. It was surface. And I think mostly, and as a black man, we kind of keep a facade up, you know, especially around other black men. We don't want another man to see our weaknesses or to think that we don't have it all going on in every area and all that kind of stuff. And so I got a little exposure in the church, like in the men's group in the church that I belong to, where that kind of got introduced in terms of being transparent, being vulnerable, being our brother's keeper, if you will. Yeah. So that kind of got introduced in church, but then I didn't think I really lived it and walked it until I was in Alpha.
All right. So as the chair of the Brotherhood Affairs Committee, how do you see the work that you do supporting the mission of Alpha Phi Alpha?
The Brotherhood Affairs basically attends to the whole person. So, you know, just as if, as a person, if I don't do self-care, if I don't take care of myself, I'm no good to anybody else. I can't be the husband I need to be. I can't be the father, the employee, all of that. So same thing. Brotherhood Affairs is critical because it takes care of the whole person. So we talk about, you know, health and wellness, reclamation and retention, brothers that are kind of, you know, not connected. You know, we want you to be connected. we talk about the spirituality, the chaplain, brother's keeper, going and making sure that brothers who are going through health challenges, who are going through a difficult season in their life, that they know that they are supported, that they have a network of brothers that they can lean on and that are going to be there for them. And then, of course, you know, we have all the good fellowship stuff, you know, the brotherhood smokes and mm-hmm. the frozen Fridays. And, you know, we get together and drink and have a cigar and do all those things to just unwind and have fun. But it really does minister to the whole person, to the heart and soul of that man, so that he's healthy, that he feels connected. And so when he's got all those components in place, he can go out and do the work of the fraternity. He can do those programs and go out and serve the community, do the work that we're called to do. But if you're, you know, disconnected, if you're not healthy, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, then none of that, it doesn't any good. Not at all. So Brotherhood Affairs is critical. I mean, I think, like you said, we have to really minister to the whole man, and that's where Brotherhood Affairs comes in.
Okay. Now that you have assumed the chair for Brotherhood Affairs, what are your vision or some of your goals for what you want to do in your time?
So I definitely want to expound upon the momentum that our current chairs have really gained. So like PUL Do Something, for example, brothers are, you know, out focusing on their health, getting out there, getting moving, running, you know, walking, going to the gym. But I've seen the results. Like you said, brothers are dropping pounds, mm-hmm. getting healthier. I want to expound upon that. And even with our men's health forum, we've had a successful event in past years, but I want to see literally where we have an auditorium full of people. Mm-hmm. And it's not just about the brotherhood or men per se, but we are helping the Black community because we have some health issues that are unique to us. Mm. I want to see us grow our health initiative so that it reaches a broader audience and broader community. And so, you know, same thing with Brothers Keeper. I love the fact that our chaplain has come up with our jewel group mm-hmm. because I think it breaks the chapter down into smaller chunks for some brothers who they may come in and see, oh my God, it's 100-something brothers in this chapter. How am I going to get connected? Mm. But when you have a smaller group that you have a leader that just checks in on you and says, hey, we're a smaller group. What are your concerns? What are your issues? What are you facing? Or just providing, you know, encouragement, daily, weekly encouragement. I think I want to try to expand that and then figure out ways to really, really get our reclaimed brothers involved mm. and active, not just have their name on the roll.
Yeah.
That's reclamation retention. It's a big thing with the fraternity, but I know within PUL, we always have the numbers. We reclaimed X amount of brothers this year, but I want to be able to say we reclaimed X amount, but these are the ones that are actively engaged, that are doing committee work, that are signing up to be an officer, you know, that kind of thing. I want to increase those numbers.
Okay. All right. So you mentioned the men's health forum and having an auditorium. What are some of the upcoming programming or events that we have that people can look out for or show up to?
June 10th, men's health forum. We're looking to have it this time at Reed Temple AME out in Glendale, Maryland. So be on the lookout for that. And I believe it's going to be free. Just come out, get the information, tell your friends and family, hey, we got and we want to always have an excellent panel of doctors,
financial advisors,
clergy. Yeah. I mean, we have a whole broad range to cover every facet, financial, spiritual, emotional,
fitness,
all of it. We're going to have something for everybody.
Okay. All right. So that is the PUL Brotherhood Affairs Committee. How we support the brotherhood is important because as we do the work of Alpha, we want to make sure that we are in shape in all areas to do that work so that we can continue to do it for a long time. So thank you for this important work that you do. My brother, I appreciate you coming back to visit with us.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure.
Until next time, I'm Mike Richardson. This is First Impulse.